Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes, and today we have on one of our most popular guests. Her episode last year was one of our most listened to, and that is Dr. Chinwe Williams. She is a licensed therapist. She has her own practice, and she has written two books to talk about how we deal with our teens and anxiety. Last year, she was on our podcast, and I encourage you to listen to that episode where she talks about her book, Seen, Healing Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teens Through the Power of Connection. Today, we talk about her new book, which is actually written for teenagers and young adults. And her book is called Beyond the Spiral, Why You Shouldn't Believe Everything Anxiety Tells You. We talk about anxiety. What is it? How do we know if our kids are struggling or just struggling with the normal chaotic teenage life? When should we get help? What are some coping ways? What are some ways that we can help our kids cope? How can we talk to them when they have big emotions? We talk about all of this. You are going to love it. It's action-packed in about 25 minutes, and I encourage you to listen to this and to also grab her book. I think you're going to love Dr. Williams. Here she is again. Hey, Dr. Williams, thanks so much for being back with us. So last year, if you guys did not hear her amazing talk with us, you know that it is one of the most listened to podcast episodes. Your podcast. Yep.
No, I did not know that. That's awesome.
Because parents really care about what's going on with their kids right now and their emotions and anxiety and all the things that they're dealing with. And last time we talked about your book, Seen, and you have written a new book called Beyond the Spiral, Why You Shouldn't Believe Everything Anxiety Tells You. And it's really helping parents really talk to their kids, their teenagers. And so first of all, thank you so much for being here. And what a fun, I'm so glad you have a new book out. That's so awesome. But we were kind of joking in the intro, like that was a fast turnaround. Like that's impressive. Tell me about that.
Well, Christy, we were traveling all over during our book tour, and then we got invited to do some events at schools and churches. And during the part where we're signing books, parents will say, they would pick up the book Scene and they would say, thank you for signing this. I can't wait to give this to my teenager. And we'd be like, wait, this is because we just did a whole talk on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No. This one is actually for you. And then they'll say, well, where's the one for the teenager? And I'm like, wait, we don't have one. But we got this question so often in so many different cities that, of course, you know, Will and I, who's my co-author, put our heads together and we're like, we really have to pray about this. And the truth of the matter is it made sense because anxiety was rising across the board with everyone, but no group more so than teenagers and young adults. So this book is specifically written for that audience in mind.
I love it. So your first book, Seen, and if you guys have not listened to that, go back. It's almost a year ago that we did that episode. And that is really for the parents and how we connect with our kids when they're going through stuff, which I loved and still use many of those tools. But now this one is for teenagers. And tell me a little bit, since I have a teenager. So my kiddo will be 15. Oh my gosh. In wow. June. It's so crazy. But tell me a little bit, like, how can we tell as parents if our child suffers from anxiety or if they're just experiencing that normal teenage life that can be chaotic at times?
Exactly. Well, it really is something to just highlight that adolescence is full of changes, emotional changes, physical changes. Our teenagers' brains are like growing so rapidly. They're experiencing social changes. So any sort of change, and this is for adults as well, can produce anxiety. Any transition can produce anxiety. Any experience that's in the future that you might even be looking forward to. And I always give this example. If you're walking into an interview and you really want the job, you're going to be anxious. When I was walking down the aisle, I remember feeling like my armpits are sweating. It's not cute in this beautiful dress. Yeah. And yet I'm looking at the man that I knew that, you know, I wanted to be with for the rest of my life. But I looked around and I was so nervous, and you can't help but to think about the future and wonder about it. Adolescence is that times 10. Mm. There's so much to worry about. So if you're parenting a teenager or leading a teenager or know of a teenager that's talking about anxiety a little bit more, that's really nothing to worry about. As a therapist, what I share with parents and leaders is if you have a teenager that is now avoiding things that they normally get excited about. So for example, if your teenager is involved in cheer or basketball or softball, and they normally can't wait to get out of the house to go be with their friends or to do this sport that they love, but all of a sudden they are worried about what people are going to think about them. They're worried about measuring up. They're worried about being successful. Maybe they worried about those things before, but they were able to push through. So anxiety is normal. Anxiety becomes problematic when it's difficult to control, when you as a parent, you're offering your child so many different reassurances, because anxiety will make you seek reassurance, yeah. Right? Like, am I going to be okay? Is this going to work out? And then anxiety becomes problematic when you use coping skills that typically work and they're not working anymore. And Christy, so many of us saw this during the beginning of the pandemic, where we would normally go for a run or go to bed a little bit earlier if we're experiencing some level of stress, and that helped to kind of clear our heads. But then our heads weren't clear. So that just means that we need more coping skills. But if your teenager is using coping skills and their anxiety is impacting them at home, at school, extracurricular activities, and they're starting not to want to engage in their friendships, their peer relationships, that's when I, as a therapist, start to worry just a little bit.
What would you say? So if a parent feels like that, if they're like, okay, I am seeing a little bit more than I ever did, and they might chalk it up to, okay, my girl just turned 16 and maybe she has a new boyfriend, or maybe, you know, she just got on social media for the first time. When do you feel like as parents, we should get professional help? Maybe the coping, or, you know, when we say like, let's pray about it, let's, you know, talk about this with a friend, when those things have kind of like, we don't know what to say anymore. And you could probably go into the whole thing of like, hey, let's pray about it, but let's also get someone, like, talk about that a little bit, because I think sometimes as parents, we probably struggle with how to help our kids cope. And then, I don't know, I feel like there's a little bit maybe shame that we feel when we have to get someone else's help and we can't solve it ourselves.
Oh, that's so true. And that's true for teenagers. That's true for adults. It feels particularly true for moms, because we tend to kind of carry so much of the burden of raising kids, even if our husbands are involved and our families are involved in a beautiful way. A lot of times I know I'm looking at my calendar and I'm like, do I have my kids in enough camps? Are they out of the house enough? Are they getting enough sunshine, right? So we tend to worry about a lot of things. And in our worry, and we actually talk about this in the book, the tendency is to kind of withdraw, and shame comes up when we feel like everything that we're doing isn't enough. And so shame can be problematic in so many ways, but I won't go into that. But shame really at the root is covering up. And a lot of people don't realize that. The root word for shame is to cover up. And again, that withdrawal and that avoidance, whether you're dealing with anxiety or you're dealing with a teenager that has some mental health challenge, you want to know that you need to do the opposite. So if you're hearing about your child talking more and more about their stressors, talking about feeling out of control, if you're seeing that your child is struggling and that fear or that anxiety for them starts to paralyze them, and that's the word that we really use. The anxiety is normal, but if the anxiety becomes intense, if it becomes prolonged, if it's happening more days than not and it's paralyzing them, you almost don't recognize your girl or your guy anymore because this anxiety seems to be taking over. Please do not hesitate to reach out for help. And it does not mean that your child is going to be diagnosed with a disorder. We wrote seeing because some families were worried that their child needed a therapist, but then when they implemented these tools, they realized that it helped. Mm-hmm. It helped their kids to manage some of the difficulties that they were facing. So I would just say to the moms and dads out there and grandparents, you know, please don't hesitate to reach out to a pediatrician. Please don't hesitate to share, because shame means cover up. We don't want to cover up. We want to share with our really close friends what we're seeing, get people's advice. But certainly if it's getting in the way of your child's everyday functioning, please call the pediatrician. Please reach out to a mental health specialist.
We were talking the other day. I have like a little hiking group on Sundays that kind of help my rhythm. I was thinking I have a pretty stressful job during the week. And so on the weekends, I'm very intentional to make sure I have some space to fill my cup. And one of those is hiking in nature, because I love nature, and then hiking with friends. We were talking about kids and those things. And I said, can we just be the group that never feels shame when our kids screw up? Like, and not say it. Like, can we be the group that when my kid screws up or does something that we know all of our kids are going to, at some point, whether we're the best parent in the world or not, that they're going to screw up, that we tell each other, that we don't suffer in silence? Because I think all of us have this identity as a parent that how we try not to, but based on how our kids act, or how they don't act right or act a certain way, it feels, you know, personal to us. And so I just remember we talked about it yesterday. I was like, can we just be the group that, like, if our kids just do something so stupid that we just say it, that we just say, hey, this is what my kid did, without judgment, just to be able to, like, work it through for sure.
That makes my mama heart happy. That makes my therapist heart happy, because it's a big deal. And Christy, the fact that you put it out there is such a wonderful thing, because we just need one brave soul out there to say, hey, can we just be real? Can we just be real? And something, I went to a homeschooling event yesterday, or was it Saturday? Yes, Saturday. And I did the keynote speech, and I said, community is amazing. This is a community, but let's be honest, community isn't the same as connection. And you could almost hear a gasp, and I wanted that reaction. And then I dove into the fact that we create connections by being vulnerable and by, sharing those things that are hard, and without judgment, without placing judgment on ourselves. And certainly if we're able to do that, then we're like, we're less likely to be judgmental of others.
Yeah. I think that is key. And as I get into the older years with my kids, I want to have someone. And quite honestly, most of the people who share those things, the other people in the room are like, thank God they shared that, because my kid's going through the same thing, or my kid is dealing with the same issue. I was just nervous to say it. So I appreciate your encouragement for that. I'd love to dig in a little bit about anxiety, just what it is. We hear it's kind of a buzzword now. I mean, after COVID, we've heard our kids are struggling with anxiety. We have these percentages that are off the charts of kids struggling with depression and all of these different things. So I just, we hear it so much. Can you just talk about what is anxiety? What are some of the things that anxiety tells us and tells our teenagers?
Yeah. So anxiety is an emotion, first and foremost, that is normal. Stress is normal. Worry and anxiety are normal. So anxiety encompasses, in my mind, the way that I look at it as a therapist, our thoughts. So we'll have those anxious and those worry thoughts about the future. And they typically start with, what if? What if something bad happens? What if I'm not prepared? What if people laugh at me, right? And then these emotions that feeling of fear or dread, it's sort of like this impending sort of doom, honestly, is the way that a lot of my clients describe it. and this uneasiness about the future. So anxiety typically has everything to do with the future and you feeling like you're not going to measure up or you're not going to be prepared for this thing that's coming. And then here's the third piece that's really important. Like depression, anxiety has physical manifestation. So it presents in our body as headaches and gastrointestinal pain and body aches. And sometimes we go to the doctor and the doctor's like, I don't know. Like, I'll be honest with you. I had a very busy week last week. And so I went to go see my chiropractor. I typically see him every 3 weeks. I saw him a little bit sooner because I just had a lot of stuff that was going on and I could feel it in my muscles. And he was like, all right, Chen Wei, got you, you know, finish the adjustment. He's like, got you back in working order. And I did. I felt great afterwards. And I remember telling my husband, I'm going to go, you know, I feel like I can do everything. 2 days later, my muscles started hurting again. Oh. I felt like I needed another adjustment. And that was a messenger for me. So that there's like a whole thing about, you know, just paying attention to what your body communicates to you. So it really wasn't physical. I didn't have anything structurally going on with me. I had been in a car accident years ago, so I try to get my regular visits, but when with a chiropractor, but when I'm stressed, I feel it more so. And so I was like, okay, Chen Wei, I know what this is. I know what this is. Mm-hmm. So I started to really incorporate a lot more self-care. I started to slow down. I started to turn everything off early. Email, phone, television. That was just a few days ago, and I was preparing for this homeschooling event, and I felt so much better. I felt so much better. So anxiety can be a messenger. So that's the good thing. And I believe that God created fear to not just slow us down, but to sometimes warn us of some things that we need to pay attention to. And Christy, anxiety lies. Anxiety can be a big liar. Right? It's not warning us of anything good. It's not telling us anything that we really need to know that's productive. It's just trying to get in our way. And so we came up with six of the common, what we, based on our research, based on my clinical work, six common lies that anxiety tells us that if our kids, our teenagers, if we begin to believe it, that spiral starts to happen and it really feels out of control. And so the six lies are, I'm not safe. I should just ignore it, which is the anxiety or any emotion. It's all in my head. I've lost control. I'm going to miss out. So that's the FOMO piece for people that we don't often really give credence to as adults. We're like, get over it. It'll be better in college. Or
sure.
Friends, or you don't need that invitation. Yes, they do.
With social media now too, and they're watching everything that they're not going to be able to do. And yeah, oh man.
It feels like a big deal to them. It really does. And we do need to kind of, you know, honor that and give them a way to cope. And then the last lie is I can do it alone. And that's the whole relational piece. So I believe, and this comes from my faith, that God designed us to be in relationships. And yes, relationships sometimes hurt us. And I'm a trauma therapist and I can talk to you for hours about everybody's stories around that. But relationships, and this came from seeing, as you know, has the ability to being in relationship with someone you trust has the ability to heal a lot of life's ails and certainly despair and anxiety. So we talk a lot about you can't do this alone, but that's what happens when we're mired in anxiety and even despair is we sometimes withdraw or the shame that we talked about earlier starts to surface.
I love that you said earlier, just anxiety is normal. I think sometimes it can feel like if we think we have anxiety, something's wrong with us. And one of the things that my counselor always says is just name it. Just name the anxiety. Why are you anxious? Well, because you had two crises at work. You're struggling in this. Your kids did that. You know, like just name it. Like I'm anxious and feeling like this because blank, blank, blank. You know, it just helps kind of name, you know, what it is.
And externalize it. It's not just, there's something real that's happening. It's not just all in your head, right? There's something that's happening and let's externalize it, because then it does kind of take a little bit of that mm-hmm. energy out of your body and your thoughts.
That's good. Tell me, I'm always fascinated so much about just our brain chemistry. So talk to me. We work in my day job. I work for an anti-trafficking organization. So we are all in, you know, relationships with those who have had serious trauma in their life, but we know that some of those patterns can be changed in our brain chemistry. So talk a little bit just about that, maybe for the parent who's feeling anxious themselves about their kids have gone through a lot and they're just like, oh, can they, you know, get through this? And how am I going to help them get through maybe something that happened traumatic in their life, whether it be a divorce or, you know, abuse or whatever it is. Can you talk a little bit about that just for encouragement for the parents?
Yeah. So first and foremost, we believe for a really long time that once you get to a certain age, your brain just stops developing. And that just simply isn't true. We now know that there is a concept called neuroplasticity, which means that our brains are malleable and our minds can expand. And this is really important to know, because when you experience a traumatic event in your life, there is some restriction and there's some constriction and there is toxins that get produced that are quite literally, we know this from neuroscience, trapped in your body. So trauma and pain, especially trauma that happened at an early age, or trauma, and this makes me sad just thinking about this, and this is literally what I do every day, and you see it in your work, trauma that happens too early, trauma that happens too fast, trauma that's prolonged can be toxins, can turn into toxins in your body. So that's terrible news. That's not where we want to end, right? But what we certainly want to offer is hope. So we know through, you know, brain science that there's a lot that happens on the right side of the brain when people are fearful because of a trauma or a divorce, which can feel traumatic, or a move, which can feel traumatic. So it's not just like the catastrophic things like trafficking, which is horrific, but on the right side of the brain is the amygdala, which is a structure within the brain that houses fear. It's our fight, you know, fight, freeze, flight response. When we even just perceive something to be scary or something to be similar to the trauma that we experience. So that gets activated. And yes, Christy, it can sometimes bypass our thinking brain, which is like the left side of the brain. But what we have found is through our research is that human beings, so relationships with people that are trustworthy, that are compassionate, that are empathetic, that's the big word, empathy, that are tuned. So if you have like a close relationship with someone who's been hurt, you are their caregiver, even, yes, a foster parent, an adoptive parent can play this role. You can help to reduce the effects of the trauma that happens on the right side of the brain. And so within the book Seeing, we talk about all the specific ways you can do that. And we talk about right brain, meeting right brain to right brain. Oftentimes, and this is helpful with anxiety too, sort of run of the mill anxiety, we talk to our kids from a left brain perspective. Why are you feeling this way? You don't have to feel this way. There's nothing to be scared of. You've been to that pool 100 times. These are your friends at school. Math is just math. It's like, you know, you might be right. And I've said those things.
Yeah.
It's right. There's nothing to cry about. Technically you're right. But for them, you're not reaching the side of the brain that feels that fear intensely. So we got to use other language.
So just touch on that a little bit, because I think that's something that all of us, like when you hear, I mean, I have an 11-year-old and she will get worked up about something. And in my mind, I'm like, this is so dumb. Like she is right. But I also know, just because I've had people like you on our show, that I know not to say that, or to say like,
we don't say that.
Don't just get over it. Like that's the smallest, silliest thing ever. So what is some language that we can say, even when you know, as a parent, like, this too will pass. This isn't that big of a deal. But but that doesn't help them when we say that. It's not like that. It's like when I always love the memes of the husbands that are like, tell the wives, like, everything's going to be okay. And she's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for telling me that. Everything is great now.
Like, so all of a sudden I feel so much better. I feel
so much better. So help some parents maybe with some language and some empathy in those moments.
Can I tell you the response that parents say, or the word that parents say the most, including I've caught myself doing it recently, because May is all the things for parents of elementary school, parents in general. It's every field trips and field day and all the things, and teachers gives and
end of ceremony. I'm going to a ceremony. I'm literally ceremony, like, hey, we got to be done because I got to go to another ceremony.
Right? It's like, it's a lot. And I'm being very honest with you. I caught myself last week saying to my son, no, I need you to relax. And I'm cringing inside because, first of all, people are listening to this and they're like, what's wrong with that?
right.
But if we kind of turn that around, and I didn't say it with a super I wasn't yelling, but I didn't say it in a super compassionate tone. And he picked up on it, right? Yeah. And he even said, Mom, don't tell me to relax, because he knows. He knows this stuff. But if you think about it for us, if we were in the midst of a huge work project or, you know, volunteer project that has been like really impacting us, and we start to feel frustrated and we turn to our husbands or we turn to a friend and we're saying, gosh, I just feel so overwhelmed. And then someone says, relax.
You're like, thanks. Thank you so much for that.
Right. But we forget that doesn't always work. So what do we say instead? And this is not always intuitive, but it really does work. You say, I can tell you're having a hard time. Mm. I can tell this feels really tough for you. One thing that I do with my boys all the time, I go, ooh, looks like you're having a rough day, but not with sarcasm, because that could, you know, you can do that.
Yeah.
Just you're observing, looks like you're having a rough day. And I don't know if this is going to be, you know, videotaped, but, or people are going to see the video, but right now I'm holding up a feelings wheel, which
I love that.
And this is, I have so many of them because I use them in therapy. This is where I do therapy when I'm not in my home, in my in-person office. And I have one there, and I ask my kids, and I do this with my teenagers in therapy, and I do it with my adults as well. How are you feeling right now? How are you feeling right now? And sometimes when you are in the thick of overwhelm or stress, you can't figure out how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So you do need a little bit of help. And so either a list of words, or you as the parent or caregiver can just say, looks like you're feeling really frustrated, or looks like you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed or even upset. And we can use the word angry, because oftentimes we feel angry.
Yeah, yeah.
We shouldn't shy away from that word. So I think the best thing is to either tell them what you think they might be feeling. If you have a younger child, like, you're guessing, I think you're feeling XYZ, or just ask directly, how are you feeling? So that's what I would offer.
That's good.
But really it's about pausing and just being as empathetic and just sort of putting yourself in their shoes and asking yourself, what would you need in this moment?
That's good. I have a friend who actually has that will on her refrigerator, just to help her kiddos, like, no, because usually we only know a couple. It's sad, it's angry, it's happy. We don't understand that there's so many more, you know, emotions. And so I think just recognizing, I've been doing that with my daughter, because she, like, me telling her to chill is not going to work for her. So to be able just to say, hey, that's really hard. Like, I actually would be kind of upset about that too. Like, I would be really struggling. I'm glad you told me that. And then usually she just wants to say it. I mean, this is with all people, with my staff. They really don't want any answers. They really just want to come in and, like, just get it off their, you know, off their chest, and for us to be there for them. So I love that. Thank you. That will help a lot of family conversations this week. Well, I love just the work that you're doing, and both your books, Seeing for Parents, and then Beyond the Spiral. Tell us a little bit the places we can get that right now, and then who is it, just so people don't forget, who is this book designed for?
Yeah, so this book is designed for teenagers and young adults, and I promise I'm not just trying to sell a book. Our readers are telling us that it is so helpful for adults as well. And Christy, you have it. A lot of these activities and practices can be helpful for anyone. We just sort of frame the context for the people that are really experiencing anxiety the most right now. So it's again six lies that anxiety tells you. Then we talk about practical tools that you can use. And these are the things that I literally teach every day in my therapy practice. I teach my clients. And then for those of you who are of faith or are open to it, we have a section in each chapter that talks about how to invite God in. And so we know that spirituality and faith are important to young people. And so we want to bring that part because it's a holistic book. So you are able to find that book on our website, which is the Beyond the Spiral book. .com or Amazon.
Awesome. I'll put it in the show notes for sure. And I love just the part of you really merging the spiritual piece, the God piece. Like Jesus, and he cares about these things. He cares about how we feel. He cares. He's so empathetic and so compassionate. And so I love how you're weaving that in there. I think we really can't do it without the other. We can't just have all the coping skills and all the things if we don't have the true answer, which is Jesus. So
Jesus is our foundation.
Being able to merge that is just amazing. So thank you for your work so much. I can't wait to get this out to people and have them hear it and have them see your book. We just appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much. And maybe we'll schedule a time to go over some of the coping skills, which is always so fun to talk about. We have so many in the book that I actually enjoy giving many away. So
I love it. We need it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Williams, and I encourage you to grab her book, Beyond the Spiral. You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to our show notes and click there and get her book. I think it's so important for those of us who have teenagers, but also I think there's some really good things in there that we as adults can help model to our kids. Also, I will put in the show notes her book, Seen, and how you can get that as well. Thank you guys so much for caring about your kids. And when they have these things that come up, and we need to help them, but we also need to make sure we have people that we can share the hard things with. I think in our podcast, we talked a little bit about me just wanting to share with a group when our kids do things that feel hard or things that maybe we can't handle on our own, but sometimes shame keeps us from telling anyone else. And I encourage us to find a community that we can have true connection with, that we can share those things that are really hard, especially in parenting, because parenting is hard, y'all. Well, thank you so much for being here today and giving your time to us. Thank you for being love and doing good in your family and in your communities. See you next week.